You may be seated if you're turning your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. I want to talk to you this morning about investing in a miracle. A lot of people interested in investments, but I want to talk to you about how to invest in a miracle. Many of you are going through some hard places. Many of you are going through some crisis in life. And today I have a message of encouragement, a message that will boost your faith. Everywhere I go, I find hurting people. People asking questions, questions about their health, questions about money, a job or inner peace, or how can I find the meaning of life? And those problems, they're real, and sometimes they're very painful. And real answers is what people need. They need to find the real answer. And even though you may be experiencing some of those problems today, there is an answer. And this church, Westmoreland, it is a place where people of all races can come and find the power of Jesus Christ. And when you get to where Jesus is, what I want to talk to you today is about releasing your faith and investing in the miracle that God has for you. I started to preach on wonderful Jesus. Somebody asked me yesterday, what you going to preach on? I said, to be honest with you, it's Saturday and I don't know. But it wasn't because I didn't have a sermon. I just didn't know which one I was going to preach. And I was thinking about wonderful Jesus. I'm looking at Joey Tedder this morning. He couldn't sing for 10 years and he'd lost his voice and got up and sang the best I've ever heard him sing. I said, tell me about wonderful Jesus, Joey. Then I looked back at Sister Lori Winslow. She's losing her eyesight, couldn't drive, had some kind of rare disease, and she's sitting in church today worshiping and praising God, driving her automobile. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, paid her a visit. Then I look over here at Sister Julie Page, and she had lost, she coughed and coughed and coughed, and she came, and God gave her a miracle. And Brother Thomas, I look at him, hallelujah, he told me, he said, he lost everything. Is that all right to say that? The devil is a stripper. He stripped him down. He had a problem with alcohol, but he's free today. He had a problem with his nicotine. He's free today. God asked him earlier in the year, said, you got more faith in those withdrawal symptoms of nicotine than you got in my power to deliver you. He threw his cigarettes down, walked through the door, said he's never wanted another one. That's the miracle working power of God. He's getting married pretty soon. I'm going to do the wedding. Wedding bells are ringing in the chapel, not this chapel, but I'm going to do it somewhere else. God is restored. He is restoring him. He's got a house that he's going to sell, and he's going to have a nice dowry to go into that marriage with. And the lady she's marrying, guess what? He used to own a woodwork shop, and she just happened to have a woodwork shop that her husband, who passed away, lived. He's a fisherman. He's got a 12-acre pond on that farm out there where they go, a 12-acre farm pond. He loves to fish. God is restoring. What I'm telling you, he came to church, he invested in a miracle, he started playing his drums, he started worshiping God, saying, God, you're worth something, you've done so much for me, I'm going to send up some worship to you. Hallelujah. So today I want to talk to you about investing in your miracle. And I want to show you what a crisis can do in your life if you respond to that crisis in faith. Your faith can move mountains. And all things are possible with God. And all things are possible with him that believes. Not some thing, but all things. So all God wants you to do is use the currency of heaven, release your faith, and let the miracle worker show up in your midst and give you that miracle. We're reading from Matthew 9 and 20. It says, and behold a woman, Matthew 9 and 20, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be made whole. But Jesus turned about when he saw her and said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Now I want you to look at Matthew 9:21 again. I want you to look at that verse. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be made whole. Notice she said something, even though at this point she had not even opened her mouth. She said within herself. She said within her spirit. She said within her heart. And that's where faith begins. Faith begins in your heart. With the heart, man believes. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. I don't just want to believe in salvation. I want to get unto it. I don't want to just believe in prosperity. I want to get unto it. I don't want to just believe in God's blessings. I want to get unto it. And with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With his mouth, confession is made unto salvation, unto healing, unto miracles, unto prosperity, unto whatever God's word says. If you say what God's word says, glory to God, you can have what God says. The Bible says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. I will say, surely he shall do. I will say, he surely shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. That is right there. You believe in your heart. You confess with your mouth. I believe and I say what God says. And when I say what God says, God does what God said he will do. Go on, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This woman said something in her heart. And what she said in essence was this: I'm going to touch Jesus. And if I can touch him, I shall be made whole. And this woman used her faith and she invested in a miracle and she was made whole. My subject this morning, I want to talk to you about investing in a miracle. Let us pray. Father, we love you. We praise you. Lord, everything's been flipped upside down this morning, but sometimes, God, you just do that to get us out of our comfort zone. You just do that, Lord, so you can just be God. You do that, Lord, and interrupt our plans sometimes, God, so you can just show up in the midst and do what you've planned to do. And you can show up and show off and bless people and heal people and give people answers to the problems of life. Jesus, we worship you. We welcome you. Holy Ghost, take over this service. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. I want you to notice certain things about this woman. She got in the press. She had been sick 12 long years. She had spent everything she had on doctors. She grew none the better. It looked like all hope was gone. It looked like her situation would never change. Have you ever been there? But she rose up in her faith. And she got in the press and she pressed her way into Jesus. Hallelujah. This woman was determined to get to Jesus. Her mind said, you're sick. Her body said, you're sick. The pain told her, you're sick. She had been sick 12 long years and she had spent every penny she had on doctors. But her spirit said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And she based her confession and her faith on the word of God. I want you to look at Malachi 4:2. Look at this. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. She heard from God. She got in the press and she made her way to Jesus. And when she finally touched him, she was instantly healed. And Jesus said, who touched me? And Peter and some of the other disciples said, Master, the whole multitude is touching you. And you are asking who touched you? He said, yes, somebody touched me. And it was a different touch. I felt power. I felt virtue. I felt the glory of God flow out of me. Somebody touched me with faith. Hallelujah. Who was it that touched me? Glory to God. Sometimes you just got to touch Jesus with every ounce of energy that you have. Look at Luke 8:47. And when the woman saw that she was not healed, she came trembling. And falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good cheer. thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. The Bible says a certain woman. I believe God did that on purpose. I believe he did that so you could draw courage and you could draw strength by putting your name in the place where her name could have been. We're talking about investing in a miracle. See, when you're facing a crisis, you've got to let the devil know, I'm coming out of this situation. I'm coming out of this trial. I am not meant to live in the shadows. I am not meant to live in the darkness. Hallelujah. I'm meant to live in victory. Thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even in our faith. You're more than a conqueror through him that loved you and gave himself for you. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. No weapon formed against you shall ever prosper. You're a child of the Most High God. Jesus Christ is Lord. And because Jesus is Lord, you can have a miracle. All you need to do is invest in that miracle and release your faith. Go on, praise him. Hallelujah to the Lamb. This woman had one word from God. Malachi the prophet had said, the Son of Righteousness is going to rise with healing in his wing. And when she heard of Jesus and she made her way to Jesus, she pressed in on one word from God. All you need for a miracle is one word from God. Sometimes you don't have the money. Sometimes you don't have the support. Sometimes you just don't have anything. And just like this woman, a voice will speak to you and say, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to take care of that need that you have. And right in the middle of your dilemma, you will have to decide whether or not you're going to invest in a miracle. You can either have a spirit like Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, or you can have a spirit like Mary, the mother of Jesus. The angel Gabriel appeared to Zacharias and told him, you and your wife Elizabeth, you're going to have a son. And he said, I mean, this is an angel, a 10-foot-tall angel from the glory world, flaming fire. His angels are flames of fire, standing there with a message from God in his presence. And Zachariah says, whereby shall I know this? Or how do I know you're telling me the truth? See, the same angel appeared to Mary, and her response was, I don't doubt it shall be, but how shall it be? I've never even known a man. I'm a virgin, so how shall it be? And the angel told her, said, I'm going to tell you how. I'm going to tell you how to do and get the impossible. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost, that's how it's going to happen. And we need to get the spirit of Mary into our heart and not the spirit of Zacharias. When God tells us by his word or God tells us by his spirit that he's going to do something in our lives, the spirit of Mary comes and said, it's going to happen. I just want to know how. Hallelujah. See, Lord, I don't know how, but you said it, so I just know it's going to happen. What God is telling me is beyond me. It's beyond what I can do, but I know it shall be because God said it shall be. What is faith? Faith says it's so when it's not so, so it can be so because God said it so. That's my definition of faith. Faith says it's so when it's not so, so it can be so because God said it so. And Apostle Paul said, God calleth the things that be not as though they were. And sometimes you just got to look beyond the circumstances and you got to look to God and say, woo, I believe God. I believe it shall be even as he has told me. How many know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. Lord, I don't know how it's going to happen. Go on, praise him. I just know it's going to happen. God said, it's not by power nor by might. It's by my spirit, saith the Lord God of hosts. Hallelujah. And I want you to understand, if you have come to church today with an how, God has an answer for you. How am I going to see God fix my problems? How am I going to see my family get saved? How am I going to get out of this financial mess? How am I going to get out of this terrible depression? How am I going to get my healing? How am I going to get my miracle? How am I going to get my family out of this crisis? How? See, if you have a how, I've got a word from the Lord just for you. How? The Holy Ghost. Woo! How? Shout it, church. The Holy Ghost. I said shout it, church. The Holy Ghost. How, church? The Holy Ghost. Glory to God. How is my lost husband going to get saved? Shout it with me. The Holy Ghost. How is my business going to prosper in a bad economy? Shout it. The Holy Ghost. How is Westmoreland going to grow and touch this community? How, church? The Holy Ghost. Woo! Not by power, nor by might, not by eloquence. Paul said, I didn't come with eloquence of men. I came in powers and demonstrations of the Holy Ghost, that your faith should not be in man, but that your faith should be in God. God is not interested in this denomination. God is not interested in religion. God loves people. God is a miracle working God. God has a miracle with your name on it. Get rid of that religious spirit. God hates it. He'll resist you if you got that. He loves the humble. Get rid of that old spirit of pride. He said, come unto me. I love you. I spared not my own son. And I've got a miracle with your name on it. Just release your faith and praise me and let me work in your midst. Hallelujah. Don't try to psychoanalyze it. Don't try to reason it out. Don't try to figure it out. The angel told Zechariah, you are full of unbelief and your sign shall be dumbness. He said, I got to shut your mouth. Because if I don't, you're going to mess up this whole miracle I've got. And for 9 months, he couldn't say a word. What do you think about it, Zechariah? And then on the day that the boy was born, they were getting ready to present him to the Lord. Said, what is his name? Finally, John said, Zechariah said, his name is John. They were arguing and said, nobody in the family has a name like John. See, this man was a believer by now. God done shut his mouth up so he could get that miracle. He didn't say his name shall be called John. He said his name is John. I got something to say about this matter. Even though there's nobody in my family with a name like this, the angel of the Lord told me his name shall be John. And I believe God. Go on, believe God and praise God. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory to God. Angel, same angel told Mary, said, you're full of faith and your sign shall be the Holy Ghost. Woo! You are full of faith and your sign shall be the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. People sell themselves short by not obeying God and by not believing him with every fiber of their being for a miracle. I love miracles. I love God. I love Jesus because he's the same yesterday and today and forever. And he's not a religious Jesus. That religious crowd, they didn't even receive him. We got people sitting in church and they got religion. If you're sitting in a dead church, come on over here to Westmoreland. I promise you one thing. We got dancing and praising God and shouting, speaking in tongues. Glory to God. You can be so full of the Holy Ghost that all you got to do is tune in prayer. And all of a sudden you're not here, but you're over there. And he that speaketh in unknown tongues speaketh not unto men, howbeit he speaketh unto God. For in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. How? By the Holy Ghost. You pray in the Holy Ghost as the Spirit of God gives the vocabulary. Turn him loose and watch him work in your life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, the devil will tell you, you are never going to get your health back. And there are people that will tell you that. But don't listen to small thinking and don't listen to those negative attitudes. God is a good God and God loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you when you're right. He loves you when you're wrong. He loves you. He loves you and he will never stop loving you. Hallelujah. I promise you one thing. God believes in miracles, and all you need to do is invest in a miracle. I promise you it will not cost you anything to invest in a miracle, because all a miracle requires is your faith in the Word of God. You don't have to have a penny, or you can be a billionaire. It does not matter to God. The mercy of God is from everlasting to everlasting, and His mercy is free. Hallelujah. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I tell you, when that nail-scarred hand touched me and I came out of darkness into the marvelous light, I said, God, if you can do that for a man, I take the limits off of you. If you can do that, God, you can do anything. Hallelujah. And from that moment to this, I have believed God. Go on, praise Him. I've had miracles from God. I've prayed miracles in for other people. Hallelujah. The church is a place where miracles are supposed to happen. Don't let a religious spirit get on you. God's not looking for religion. He's looking for somebody that has a relationship with His Son Jesus. He said, you can't even come to me unless you come through the blood. He's looking for a heart that's pure. He's looking for a heart that is stayed upon Him. And you can get a miracle from God. Believe God and invest in a miracle. The mercy of the Lord is free. And God can restore whatever you've lost. I just took a tour through the Bible last evening. Jonah ran from God in the presence of the Lord, and he ended up at the bottom of the sea. And he prayed, and God heard his prayer. And he raised him up, and he preached to the city of Nineveh, that pagan city. And the king had everybody fast and pray, and they didn't even give the animals anything. Amen. And God sent that prophet through that city, and 120,000 souls were saved. Job lost his sons, his daughters, his health, his wealth. He lost it all. But the Bible said God turned the captivity of Job, and He gave him double for his trouble. Wouldn't you like God to give you double today for your trouble? That's what I want. I like old brother David. When David was at Ziklag and he lost everything he had. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's my white flag. I surrender all, Lord. Woo! Glory. Some of you need to throw the white flag up. Say, God, I just surrender all. I just give it all to you. He was at Ziklag and his men were ready to stone him to death. He said, God, shall I pursue? God said, pursue. And you shall recover all. He put his men into two parties, split them up, some left, some behind, followed the Amalekites and defeated them. And then he looked down and he said, what's that stuff over there? He said, they be David's spoil. He got back his gold, his silver, his wives, his cattle, his herds, his silver and everything. He said, what's that over there? It was the stuff the Amalekites had taken from the other people. He said, that be David's spoil. He said, in other words, I'm going to make this devil pay for what he's done for me. That's the attitude you need. Not only am I going to get my miracle, I'm going to seek God, and I'm going to get miracles for multitudes of people. I'm going to invest my prayer. I'm going to invest my life. I'm going to invest my resources, and I'm going to invest them in miracles. Go on, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Joseph was sold as a slave, and it looked like his dream was gone. But he remained faithful to God. And God resurrected his dream, and it all came true, just like God said it would. You see, the devil is a liar, and he's the father of lies. And he wants you to think that your situation is permanent and that it will never change. When Jesus came off the Mount of Transfiguration, a man came to him and said, I brought my son to your disciples, but they could not heal him. And Jesus said, how long has it been this way? He said, since he was born. And Jesus said, bring him to me. And Jesus healed him. And Jesus broke that spirit of permanency off of his life. The woman with the issue of blood that I read about, she had been sick 12 long years. And Jesus healed her. And he broke that spirit of permanency off of her. The impotent man at the pool of Bethesda, he had been sick 38 long years. And Jesus healed him. He broke that spirit of permanency off of him. The blind man that was born that way, he'd been blind for over 40 years, Jesus opened his blinded eyes and healed him. He broke that spirit of permanency. The lame man at the gate beautiful had been crippled for over 40 years. He was healed when Peter and John said, look on us. Silver and gold have I none, but such I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he got up leaping and dancing and praising God. Don't sit in a dead church, praise God, like a pickle, you know, like old Dill Pickle. And when Paul Jackson say, weaned on the dark side of the moon. Come to the church, praise God, and get happy in Jesus and start praising him. You can't think of praise. You got to shout of praise. You got to open your mouth. Sometimes you just need to dance. People said, are you crazy? I said, you hadn't seen anything yet. I'm like old brother David. I'll dance before the Lord with all my might. I'll dance before the Lord in a hat full of devils, and I'll drop the hat to dance if I have to. Go on, praise him. Release your praise. Peter and John used the name of Jesus, and they broke the permanency off of that man. See, the devil wants you to think that your situation is permanent, but you can break that spirit of permanency if you will simply invest in a miracle. See, the Holy Ghost spoke to me in my prayer time. And he said, when the people found out that was that Jesus was in the mountains, they went to Jesus. When they found out that Jesus was at the seacoast, they went to Jesus. When they found out he was in the wilderness, they went to Jesus. When they found out he was at Capernaum, they went to Jesus. Wherever Jesus went, when the people found out that Jesus was there, a great crowd gathered. Hallelujah. And church, we need the Jesus of the Bible to come and walk through this church each and every time we gather in his name. I'm tired of stuff the way it always has been. Praise God, we serve a miracle-working God. And the Holy Ghost told me, if you get Jesus into the church, the people will come. Oh, we got all the programs. We got all the bells. We got all the whistles. I had all that stuff when I worked in the business world. I know how to do it and had my own business. But I tell you how do you do it, church? How? The Holy Ghost. Come on, say how? The Holy Ghost. One more time. How do you do it, church? The Holy Ghost. Yes, sir. That's how you do it. Woo! Hallelujah. How do you get people saved? Go on, praise God. How do you get people delivered? How do you get people miracles? How do you get lives transformed by the glory of God? You get Jesus into the midst of the church. And how do you do that, church? The Holy Ghost. Woo! You got it. Hallelujah. That's how you do it. He does it. Anytime the Holy Ghost looks for someone to light upon, he looks for a clean place. Why did God choose Mary for the Holy Ghost to come upon her and to plant that seed in her womb? There were a lot of others that he could have chosen from. It was because she was pure. She had a virgin spirit. And anytime the dove is looking for someone or some place to light, he will always look for a clean place. Church, we don't need to lose the message of holiness. We don't need to lose the message of separation. We don't need to lose the message of sanctification. Not only did Mary have a virgin spirit, but when the angel told her God is going to use her, she said, "Be it unto me according to your word." Hallelujah. I like that. Be it unto me according to your word. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that offend me. Bless his holy name. I'm going to preach a long time this morning. I'm just going to have fun because we're not having church tonight. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You're getting two barrels this morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that offend me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. He forgives all our sin. He heals all our disease. Crowns our lives with loving kindnesses and tender mercies. Satisfies our mouth with good things so our youth is renewed like that of the eagle. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. I'll take sickness away from the midst of thee. Go on, praise him. Hallelujah. He said, I'm going to heal you from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. I'm going to take sickness away from the midst of you. He said he was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we're healed. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. That takes care of your spirit. Amen. The chastisement of our peace was upon you. That takes care of a tormented mind. And he said, by your stripes you're healed. My stripes you're healed. That takes care of my physical body. I can be be healed right here while I'm preaching the word of God. Psalms 107 verse 20 said, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. You can't think of praise. Go on and shout your praises unto God. Hallelujah. Glory. Woo! Glory. Hallelujah. I don't have to understand it. All I have to say is, God, be it unto me according to your word. Get about 50 healing scriptures and load your spirit like a Gatling gun. And release them on the devil. Amen. Start saying what God says. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Get God's word in your mouth. Believe it in your heart. Confess it with your mouth. Hallelujah. And you will get a miracle from God. Church, we don't need to understand it all. When God tells you he's going to do something and he's going to bless you, you don't have to have all the answers. And you will not understand it all when God tells you he's going to do something for you. You're going to end up with a hire. You don't know that God has talked to you until he has told you something that's far beyond your human abilities. See, when God tells you to do something that you know you can't do, then that's when you know you heard a word from God. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost, he'll speak to you and he'll leave you with a hair. But I'm here to tell you that the Holy Ghost is much more powerful than your hair. There are people watching by live stream today and some watching by Facebook. Some of you sitting here today, you have a hair. But the Holy Ghost is more powerful than your hair. How am I going to get off drugs? How am I going to lay this bottle down? How am I going to quit smoking? How can I overcome this addiction? How can I get my marriage restored? How can I get my life straightened out? How? The Holy Ghost. Woo! See, we need God's presence, and then we need to invest in a miracle. I'm going to close with this story right here. In Mark chapter 2, four men decided to invest in a miracle. And they put their friend who was lame on a stretcher. And when they got to the house where Jesus was, it was impossible for them to get into the house because the crowd was so great. A preacher's dream. Hallelujah. So when they reached this point, they were faced with a crisis. Do we just turn around, pick him up, and go back? Or do we begin by faith to press in to where Jesus is? See, a crisis can work for you if you will let it. Because a crisis can cause you to invest in a miracle. When these men got to the house where Jesus was, they couldn't get in. So they decided, well, we're not going to stop now. We've come too far to be denied a miracle. I like the attitude of those four men. They said, we've come too far. We've gone through too much. This load has been too heavy. We just carried this thing too long, and we are not going to be denied our miracle. And that's the spirit and the attitude that you need if you're going to get a miracle from God. Sister Laura, she prayed a lot of prayers. This church and others prayed a lot of prayers with her. But she's sitting here, healed and being healed. Amen. Woo! Some were healed instantly. Some were healed as they went. Praise God, we're being healed. Hallelujah. I like the attitude of those men. Amen. See, there comes a time you've got to have a make-up mind. I've just prayed too long. I've fasted too many meals. I've gone through too many obstacles. I've fought off too many devils. I've been through too many trials. I've carried this promise of God too far to quit now, and I'm not about to give up on my miracle. Hallelujah. See, the Bible says that these men, when they were faced with this crisis, they got even more radical in their faith. That's what I love about them. Hallelujah. They couldn't get in through the door, so they decided to go up on the roof and tear the top off of that place and lower this man down into the presence of Jesus. And this wasn't some little hole that they were putting in that roof. This ceiling and roof that they were tearing up, it wasn't even their ceiling or their roof. Amen. Now, that's great faith when you tear somebody else's roof off. Amen. And they didn't just put a little hole in there. They had to get a stretcher about 6 foot long down through that hole and into the presence of Jesus. Amen. So get the picture. Jesus is in the house. He's preaching, and while Jesus is preaching, there's a commotion and a noise going on the top of the house. And all of a sudden, a hammer comes through the ceiling. And it's not a little hole, but they're making this 6 foot long hole to get this man down into the presence of Jesus. And they lowered him down into Jesus' presence. These men were determined to get to Jesus, and so they're ripping the roof off. Man, that's faith. And they said, the ceiling is not the limit because Jesus is in the house. And because Jesus is in the house, there is no limit. They looked up through that gaping hole, Jesus did, and those men, that man on the stretcher, and I just believe he released his faith. See, when this thing happened, the Lord spoke to me one day. I had a kidney stone in my back, and I'd been praying for 3 days, and I had a lot of people pray for me. He said, you remember those four men at Capernaum? I said, yes, Lord, I remember them. He said, I looked up, and I saw their faith, the faith of the four men. He said, but when I told that man, rise, take up your bed and walk, he was on his own faith. And I got out of that bed, and I started walking. Tears streaming down my face. That thing was cutting me. It was hurting me bad. And I went downstairs, and I told my wife, I said, I'm healed. I just heard from the Lord. And I had a stranger that Arthur Mooring, who God had healed of kidney stones twice, is in heaven now. He gave me that little funnel with the strainer. And I went into the restroom, I urinated into that thing, and a glob of fleshy tissue passed. I said, look at this thing. I said, that would have never passed out of my urinary tract in that hard, crusty form. I said, but I spoke to it, and I spoke to it, and I spoke to it for 3 days, and I commanded it to break down. And that thing broke down at the name of Jesus. And look at me. I'm healed. Glory to God. Release your faith. Invest in a miracle, and you won't ever be disappointed. There is no limit to God. The sky's the limit. Hallelujah. And look at this. Mark 2 and 9. I love this. Jesus said, whether it's easier to say to the sick of palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man had power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine own house. This man came in with his back on his bed. He had an encounter with Jesus, released his faith, and he went out with his bed on his back. Woo! I believe he was shouting. I believe he was dancing. I believe he was praying God, praising God. That's what happens when you get miracles. Most of you are saved. And if you aren't, you can be. Because Jesus is in the house. But I want you to pay very close attention to verse 9, Mark 2 and 9. Jesus said, whether's easier to say to the sick of palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk. I want you to notice something. Whether is easier. Leave that up there. Whether is easier. Not whether is harder. See, none of it is hard for Jesus. He can save you and he can heal you. How? The Holy. How? How? The Holy Ghost, yes. And this is your miracle moment, Pastor Ricky. Come to the piano, please. Because Jesus is in the house. And I want you to invest in your miracle today by releasing your faith and coming to this altar. And when you start to this altar, say, Lord, I'm coming to you. and I'm coming to get my miracle. So many people, you have allowed the devil to keep you out of the altar. This church is pretty good about coming to the altar. I go to other churches and people sit back there. I mean, you preach the hot sermon. You're sweating. If the sermon won't hot, you are. Hallelujah. And people just sit there.
And they say, well, that person, they did that, and I don't like this, and I don't like that. Yum, 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 yum.
That's the devil. That's the devil talking to you.
Yeah.
He's trying to keep you from investing in your miracle.
Yes.
That negative voice you hear is the devil. Always. And demons are drawn to the negative. Griping. Yes. Complaining. I don't like this, and I don't like that, and I don't think the music was the way it should have been, and the preacher preached too long, and Sister Bucket Mouth. No, you're the Bucket Mouth. Brother Bucket Mouth, too. Go on, praise God. Amen. I'm telling you how to get a miracle. By saying what God says, and by loving God, and by loving people created in the image of God. Let us stand. You can get a miracle from God. How, Pastor? How can I get a miracle from God? Not from the pastor. How? The Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Sing it, brother.
He is here.
Hallelujah.
He is here.
Those of you that need your miracle, say, Lord, I'm coming to you. I'm coming, Lord. I'm coming with all the faith I can muster. I'm coming to you, Jesus. You're in the house. And I've come today to get a miracle. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. I'll anoint you with this oil that represents the Holy Ghost. Glory. I release the miracle working power, Lord. You know what the need is. Hallelujah. Lord, this young lady came, stepped out in faith, said, I'm coming.
Hallelujah. He is here.
Father, you brought this young lady to church today with a half. And God, with her and with me, and this thing's impossible. But God is not for you. And I told her, the Holy Ghost, receive. Lord, let the miracle power begin working right now. I speak to this body, be healed, be made whole. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Lord, Sister Henderson, she was in that wheelchair on that cane. Now she's walking. Heal. Woo! Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes. In Jesus. Take it. Take it. Take it. Woo! Yes, it's yours. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, it's just a little spot that's left on that lung now. Be healed. Woo! Take it, that is. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, the Holy Ghost. Woo, glory. Yes. Jesus, glory. Hallelujah. Be healed, be made whole. Glory. Sister Martha, be strengthened by the power of God. Be made whole. Robosha, Robosha. Glory unto the Bohushataya. Glory to God. We love you, Lord.
Oh, he is here.
Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, he,
Lord, you're here.
Is here.
The Holy Ghost. Woo! Yes, Lord. Woo!